Hello, and thank you for joining us for episode 5 of The Backside of Water, a podcast that delves into the rich history, awesome stories, and fascinating details behind your favorite Disney attractions. I'm Alex Stewart.
And I'm Harrison Ownby.
In this episode, we are excited to branch out and cover one of the oft-forgotten attractions in Adventureland, Tarzan's Treehouse. This treehouse is Wait, what?
We're so close to New Orleans Square. Let's just pass on this treehouse.
Harry, we've committed to covering every single attraction in the park, so why don't we...
So you go upstairs, you come downstairs, whoop-de-freaking-do.
Okay, look, man, there's no line, and we have like 20 minutes before our reservations at Blue Bayou.
There are like 1,000 steps.
But think of it this way, bro. Each one of them takes us one step closer to the top.
Whoa.
Yeah, I got that quote from Tumblr. Whoa, dude, look at the view of the park from here.
Oh, I can see the Matterhorn.
And look over there, it's Big Thunder Mountain.
Whoa! We could plan our whole day at the park up here.
Let's climb even higher, bro.
Okay.
Oh, watch out for that ferocious leopard!
Oh, hey, dude, if a leopard like that crashed through the roof, what would you even do?
Bro, I would give my butt a high five!
High five for big cats! Wow, Al, that treehouse taught me that it's not always about the destination. Sometimes it's about the journey, bro.
Dude, I'm gonna carry that in my heart.
Awesome! Well, hey, quick question. Did today just become the best day of your life, like right now?
Yup.
Whenever we climbed through Tarzan's treehouse, that was basically our exchange.
Now, at first we were stumped about how to write this episode, as Tarzan's treehouse kind of flies under most people's radar. But during our research, we discovered this attraction has some really interesting roots. So, Harry, grab onto that vine and let's swing into it. In my opinion, one of the most magical things about Disneyland is that the park physically embodies the dreams and fantasies that were once inside the mind of Walt Disney. One of Walt's childhood dreams was to live in an exotic home built high up in the branches of a huge tree. Many of us feel or have felt that exact same desire, but most of us only dream of such things, though some of us may have nailed splintered secondhand boards to thin tree limbs in an attempt to make a fantasy a reality, and some of us may have had to be rushed to the hospital because one of those boards had a hidden patch of dry rot that causes said board to essentially become nature's version of a trapdoor. I digress.
Sounds like a personal experience.
I don't want to talk about that. That's on my other podcast.
Falling Through Dry Rot. Another podcast with Alex Stewart.
The Backside of Dry Rot. Anyway, Walt had something none of us young dreamers had. A place to make his dreams a reality. And that place was Disneyland. He also had a successful film released in 1960 about a shipwrecked family who was forced to live in a tree called Swiss Family Robinson. That's the name of the movie, by the way, not the name of the tree. Due to the movie's success, Walt was able to use the film as a segue to build the treehouse that every child had dreamed of. During the dreaming and planning phase of this giant treehouse, Walt enlisted the help of WET employees Bill Martin and Wolfgang Reitherman. Martin, a very accomplished Hollywood set designer working for 20th Century Fox, had come to work for Walt after Martin received an out-of-the-blue call from Walt himself asking if he would come help him build Disneyland. Martin was such an artistic genius that Walt eventually named him the art director over all of Fantasyland, and his artwork personally inspired Sleeping Beauty's Castle, Snow White's Adventure, and Peter Pan's Flight, which is my personal favorite attraction in Fantasyland. Walt also called on the help of the man who designed the tree for the film, a guy known as Wolfgang Reitherman. He was also known as Wooly to his friends. For those who don't know, Reitherman is like a colossal Disney legend. One of the famous Disney Nine Old Men, he was with Disney from nearly the beginning, animating characters such as the slave in the Magic Mirror in Snow White, as well as scenes from nearly every major and beloved Disney film. He went on to direct the many adventures of Winnie the Pooh, The Aristocats, 101 Dalmatians, Robin Hood, The Jungle Book, and many other Disney films. Anyway, Walt asked Martin and Reitherman to help him design the Robinson family's tree bungalow among the towering trees of Adventureland. Martin obliged, and his work inspired a tree that was 70 feet tall and 80 feet wide, the largest treehouse in the world at that time. As a side note, the treehouse has only recently been surpassed by another treehouse that stretches a little over 93 feet tall. That treehouse is called Minister's Treehouse in Crossville, Tennessee. It was built by a single minister inspired by what he claimed was a divine vision. Ironically, it's currently closed because apparently it violates fire codes.
Ooh, I guess God's plan didn't include fire exits. That'll get ya. Anyway, the Swiss Family Robinson treehouse was an undertaking unlike any other at the time. The tree trunk, which was 18 feet wide, was supported by 10 concrete roots, or columns, and each root was buried 42 feet deep. The steel and concrete tree weighs a whopping 150 tons. And the finishing touch was over 6,000 plastic leaves to give it the look of a sprawling treehouse. So after $254,900 in 1962, which is about $2 million today, the world had its first, I'm going to see if I can pronounce this right, Disneyodendron Semperflorens Grandis, or large, ever-blooming Disney tree.
Dude, I love how you can get that, like, right off the bat, but some of the most simple words in our language completely evade you.
I don't know what you're talking about. The attraction opened to much fanfare in November 1962, about 2 years after the movie came out. John Mills, the English actor who played Father in the movie, was present at the opening, along with his daughter Haley Mills, who was an A-list child star in the 1960s who pulled double duty playing twin girls in The Parent Trap.
I kind of want to rewind and talk about the character's name in the movie Swiss Family Robinson. It's funny because I was actually doing the research, and on IMDb, the character of the father in Swiss Family Robinson is named Father.
Yeah, it's a, they didn't really try that hard with the name, I feel like.
Oh, I feel like one name that's dropped out of modern usage is the name Ernst, which is one of the characters' names. I'm actually going to name my second son Ernst.
It was Ernst, Fritz, and Hans, I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never actually seen the movie.
It's really good. Oh, bro.
I know, Swiss Family Party Foul. Also, I'm Googling, the kid's name wasn't Hans, it was Francis. Apparently, I just default to Hans when I can't remember somebody's name. Anyway, back to opening day at the treehouse. To the surprise of many Imagineers, there were three times as many adults as there were children climbing the attraction on opening day. So let me back up and explain a bit more. The treehouse has 68 steps up and 69 steps down, and during construction, Imagineers complained to Disney that no one would want to walk up and down all those steps. Well, Disney ignored the Imagineers and followed his gut, and the attraction enjoyed a huge turnout for its grand opening. When it initially opened, it required a C ticket. The attraction later became a B ticket in 1966. That may not mean much without context, so I'll give you a quick recap of the original ticket system for Disneyland. When the park first opened, guests purchased general admission into the park, and then purchased admission for each individual attraction. The attractions were categorized from A to C, with A being the smallest and C being the most popular and advanced. The Swiss Family Treehouse was a C attraction, so it was state-of-the-art at the time, and people were clamoring to see inside.
Harry, will you please tell us what they were clamoring to see?
Hold on to your hat, Alex. Well, one of the first things people would notice is the water wheel that churned in the creek below. The wheel powered this adorable and clever little system that lifted cups of water up to a vat at the top of the treehouse. And the vat drained into a bamboo piping system powered by gravity that provided running water to every room in the house. I mean, how many times as a kid had I wished my fort had running water? So, there were three separate houses, and each room was a nice blend of pioneering ingenuity and classic furniture salvaged from the wrecked ship that left the family stranded on this mysterious, uncharted island where polka wafts through the air.
That's another one of those. I think that most people pronounce that word waft.
Wafts. Polka wafts. This song is called the Swiss Kapolka. Swiss Kapolka was piped into the attraction. I'm not sure if it filled me with merriment or just plain existential horror. You can still hear it coming from the phonograph at the bottom of Tarzan's treehouse.
I just watched The Shining the other day, and I feel like this was probably on the soundtrack.
You didn't let me finish my sentence. I said, I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your brains.
In February 1999, after 36 years of service, the Swiss Family Treehouse was closed for a major remodel. When it opened again in June of 1999, it had a new resident, Tarzan. Now, with this remodel, the Walt Disney Company made a really risky move. They did something they'd never done before. They created an attraction before the film the attraction was based on was released in theaters. That meant that if the film flopped, the attraction would have been a huge embarrassment. Fortunately, the film did well, and the attraction was welcomed by guests, though many were extremely sad to see the Swiss Family Treehouse go. Tarzan's treehouse has a swinging rope bridge from the tree over the house, which, much like the Swiss Family Robinson's treehouse, has an improvised jungly feel mixed in with salvaged parts from the wrecked ship that claimed Tarzan's parents. So, Harry, I don't know if you've actually heard of this new theory or not that supposedly links the movie Frozen, The Little Mermaid, Tangled, and Tarzan all together. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
So, apparently, according to one of these producers of the movie Frozen, somebody asked and said, what happened to Elsa and Anna's parents? And he simply said, well, their ship sunk and they were able to build a house on a tropical deserted island and they were unfortunately eaten by a leopard, which totally is exactly what happens to Tarzan's parents.
Tarzan's parents, yeah, okay.
So essentially Elsa and Anna are Tarzan's sisters back home.
Huh.
Which I,
well, I mean, if a producer said that, that makes it more official than just like a fan blog.
Exactly. So I don't know if it's necessarily considered theory and now just considered canon. But I thought that was kind of fascinating when I heard that.
Yeah, that's really neat.
So
Tarzan would be Russian royalty, I guess.
Wait, Russian? I thought that they were like Norwegian.
Oh, I don't know. Anesthesia. Somewhere cold. Somewhere cold.
We just find out that Harry thinks that anywhere cold is Russia.
Yep, it was Russia outside today.
All right, let's get back on track here. So as you walk through the attraction, you see staged scenes from the movies which show how Tarzan was saved from Saber, the evil leopardess, how Tarzan was raised by Kala the gorilla, and how he eventually fell in love with Jane Porter, a proper English lady. Sorry, I just fell off the bed.
As you were saying, a proper English lady.
Oof!
Just the mere thought of one gets you so flustered, you fall out of your Victorian bed frame.
I declare, I never see one of them before. At the base of the treehouse, you can see Jane's collection of keepsakes, bang on pots, and let your kids run around like psychopaths. Now, as a little callback to the days of yore, you can still hear the Swiska polka being played from the phonograph in this area. You'll also find the attraction's Hidden Mickey painted onto one of the pots hanging in that area. So if you're a Hidden Mickey buff, you know exactly where to go. Now, since it's been over 15 years since the release of the animated Tarzan film, I'm personally wondering how much longer of a shelf life this attraction has. Don't get me wrong, the movie's great, but there are just as many great Disney movies out there without attractions. So, Harry, why don't we take this time to air all of our grievances with Tarzan's Treehouse?
All right.
I think it's kind of a widely known thing that this attraction doesn't have the let's do it again right away appeal that the other attractions in Adventureland have. It might be the steps, or it might be the attraction doesn't have as much of a rich backstory as the Tiki Room, Jungle Cruise, or Indiana Jones Adventure. Or it might be that we're just old and worn out, I don't know.
My knee acts up when I climb that tree. To be fair, I don't think Tarzan's Treehouse is 100% committed to the concept. With the Swiss Family Treehouse, it was believable that there would be stairs and actual scenes from a house because it was built by a family that was shipwrecked after life in civilization. But Tarzan, the man famously raised by apes, along with his brother Alex Stewart, who escaped,
Throwback. Dude, fan theory. People are going to create fan theories about us.
Tarzan's brother is actually hosts a podcast. It's crazy. Let me tell you all about it. Where are you going? So Tarzan, who was famously raised by apes, wouldn't have stairs to go up a tree or a house that resembles a civilized house. So I think maybe a great way to pay, homage?
You said it right, homage.
Homage, yeah, I think a great way to
Peyton Manning.
I think a great way to pay homage to this would be to have Peyton Manning get his picture taken at the top. Well, that's all for today, folks.
See you later.
All right. I think a great way to pay homage to the animated film would be to make a stage show. It would be so cool to see a performer swing on and off the stage on vines, maybe carrying Jane in his arms. I wonder if Disney might retheme the treehouse now that a live-action Jungle Book film is going to come out. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if they built a little moat around the tree and had Baloo and Mowgli floating in it, singing the Bare Necessities?
I actually really think that the Jungle Book idea is totally feasible. I could definitely see them doing that. And I think that would actually be pretty awesome to see the story of the Jungle Book, almost like a Sleeping Beauty's castle walkthrough, except a Jungle Book version.
And I think Jungle Book would be a great addition to Adventureland.
Yeah. I also could totally see them rebooting the Swiss Family Robinson with the way that they've done things like Pirates of the Caribbean. I kind of see it being like, Swiss Family Robinson 2, Swiss Harder. And I think Bruce Willis playing the part of Ernst.
Yippee-ki-yay, Father.
I personally will say that Tarzan's Treehouse has a few things going for it. I mean, first of all, there's never a line. And if you have kids, it's a great attraction for them to exhaust themselves while you sit on the ground and shove a tiger tail down your gullet.
Whoa, wait, Al. What is a tiger tail? I thought I knew most of the snacks in Disneyland.
Bro, go to the Bengal Barbecue.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of like a pretzel-y treat.
Oh, no.
Without the pretzel feel. It's awesome, actually, and it's fairly affordable for a Disney treat. So a lot of people don't know that the Bengal Barbecue is there, but it's almost right at the base of Tarzan's Treehouse. So check it out, because it's delicious.
So it's like a pretzel-breaded treat?
Well, doesn't taste like a pretzel, but it's a callback to the world of pretzels.
The World of Pretzels with Alex Stewart. That's the other podcast.
In 1995, they found a new world. The World of Pretzels. So overall, we think this is a good attraction, and we really do recommend checking it out next time you're in the park. Now, for those who feel like there's no reason to revisit the attraction, I'm going to tell you something that made me want to go back up every time I visit the park.
When you wish upon a star, make no difference who you are.
This inspiration came after I began working there. As a Jungle Cruise cast member, one of our tasks was to walk through the Tarzan's Treehouse attraction and pick up, clean up, and make sure everything was working. So I walked through that tree maybe 200 or so times, and one of the things that always got me excited to walk through the attraction is the amazing views of the park that some areas of the treehouse provide. There's really no place that's better to view the sunset over New Orleans Square and Critter Country than from the high perches among those sprawling limbs. I strongly suggest, no matter how many times you visited the park, make a point to take the trek up the tree during those twilight hours and marvel at the amazing beauty and sheer magic that is Disneyland. As the sun sets, the park seems to be frozen in time, somewhere between an idealistic past, a promising present, and a hopeful future that Walt dreamed Disneyland would be when it opened over 60 years ago.
And honestly, I have some really fond memories of experiencing this attraction with friends. It's one of those attractions that can be a surprising amount of fun with the right people. And that's not you, Al. It's my friend Bill. Anyway, that's the story of Tarzan's Treehouse. Well, that's all we have for you today, folks. We really appreciate you joining us for this episode of The Backside of Water.
Folks, whether you love us or hate us, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. Those things really help us get good feedback as to what's working, what you don't like, what you would like. I mean, and everybody who does a review will actually get a free signed picture by Harrison Ownby.
It's an 8x10, so frame it.
Wait, I wasn't supposed to say anything there because according to my script, I'm a purveyor of science and I do not wish my comments to interfere with your opinion of the podcast in any way.
I thought that tied into Tarzan because Jane liked science, but it really doesn't.
It makes no difference.
Nobody's listening. And tap the appropriate places on your smart device to follow The Backside of Water on Instagram. Next episode, we will be covering the famous New Orleans Square.
Folks, you will not want to miss that.
You will not. So until next time, as you exit, please watch your step and watch your head.
Should you happen to miss your step and hit your head, please watch your language.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.